¡Ale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, co-pilot and primo, número uno today, número one, two, three, whatever. Ricky Torres, ¿cómo estamos, baby?
What up? Excited to be here.
Oh, it's going to be good. We're recording this just before Thursday night football, though we will have a little bit of a recap break broken in there. So we're going to run through this, give you a lot of fun stuff on this one. But because, you know, gracias for joining us, everybody. It's como siempre, estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Hopefully you're checking out our website at familiaffp.com, as well as our Twitter at familiaffp and our Familia FFP Facebook page. So Primo, we got half the season in the books. So
I know, right? First, we were talking, is the season even going to happen? Now we're halfway in it. So it's, and this is halfway of the football season, the fantasy seasons. I mean, you already know if you're in playoff position or not. So it's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah, we're already halfway to the fantasy season. So it's good time.
In fact, you, me and Hector are 5, 6, and 7 in the family league.
I know, it's driving me nuts.
With the same record.
It's hard. We got to do better than this. So we'll be, you know what?
And we played each other this week, so it's we're going to have a divider right there.
Oh, it's going to be good. Well, you got a lot of points on me, so I'm gonna have to knock you down and have you earn your way back into the playoff, the top six. So
I'm gonna be so mad if I lose again. Oh my god. Anyways,
well, you know, with it being halfway through the season, we're gonna throw out some bold predictions, brujerías. But first, let's do the Thursday night football recap.
All right.
Well, familia, sometimes you're the windshield. Sometimes you're the bug. On Thursday night football, the 49ers were the bug, losing 34-17 to the Packers. You could see the division of talent in this game, as the 49ers were just decimated by major injuries and losses to the COVID protocols. Aaron Rodgers did pretty much whatever he wanted. He threw for 305 yards and 4 TDs, just some beautiful balls. I mean, it was almost like 7-on-7 for him. As expected, his main target was Davante Adams. He caught a ridiculous 36-yard touchdown in the end zone, where somehow he was just whirling in the air as he got two parts of his body down before going out of bounds. Davante Adams is not one of us. He is special, folks. Another example was last night when he caught 10 to 12 targets for 173 yards and the score. Marquez Valdes-Scantling made his two receptions count. He had one ugly drop where you could tell that Aaron Rodgers was just not happy with him. But both the receptions went for touchdowns for a total of 53 yards on a big night. We'll see if this continues after Alan Lazard returns from IR. Robert Tonyan, just kind of an off night, only had one reception. Aaron Jones did return from missing two games with injury and ran with authority. You know, he turned 15 attempts into 58 yards, and he caught all 5 of his targets for 21 yards. So just a good all-around effort. Nice return to the field of play for Aaron Jones. So he pretty much rendered those waiver wire darlings, Tyler Irvin and Dexter Williams, into irrelevance. They weren't really factors in the game. On the 49ers side, not much to talk about. Nick Mullins did get 291 yards, but a lot of it was garbage time after the 49ers were down 31-3. And if you started Richie James, you were ecstatic. He caught 9 of 13 targets for 184 yards and the lone Mullins TD. On the Green Bay side, what helped was that all-world cornerback Jaire Alexander left the game with a concussion. That really knocked down that formidable pass defense for the Packers and made it easy for Mullins and James to connect a lot. Jerick McKinnon got the lone rushing TD for the 49ers with 4 seconds left in the game. That made a lot of fantasy managers who started him happy. McKinnon finished with 68 total yards, and Jamichael Hasty ran for just 3 yards. So it looks like this backfield is McKinnon's until Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman come back from injury.
All right, let's get in some cheese, man.
Cheese, man.
So T.Y. Hilton, you know, it's day number two. He's missed practice. I don't, you know, it's a groin injury. I just don't think it looks good for him to play on Sunday against against Baltimore. That's
just... And has he even really been effective? So it's like, at this point, it's like he's just a sore eye on your team and there's nothing you can do. And you're happy he's out because that means you put other players in who are probably going to score a lot more points than he was anyways. I know. So, I mean, they're going against the Ravens, so you should be happy that he's probably not going to play. Because yeah, if he even plays against the Ravens and you're forced to play him, he's getting like under 5 points.
Yeah, it's I think it's rough. I mean, it's he's been a player that I've owned a lot over the last few years, and it's been fun owning him.
And that just, you traded me. Oh,
yes, that was the beginning of the end for him, I think. So you jinxed him, baby.
Oh my God.
But another player who's you know, long in the tooth, as you well have learned, Mark Ingram, still the ankle injury, DNP Thursday practice, and it's just I don't think it's looking good for him to play this week, and I think it's going to be.
There's so many running backs. It's like mm-hmm. he knows he doesn't have to rush back. I don't think he's that old, but he's no Frank Gore. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to rush. He's got Edwards. And Dobbins holding the round, so he's fine.
Yeah, so I think they'll be fine, and I think it actually helps fantasy managers a little bit more to work through that and not have to go through so many different names. And we definitely got some COVID on this list of Cheesemitt. Chris Jones, the star defensive tackle for the Chiefs, placed on the reserve COVID list, and you know they shut down the facility because he is shut down because of a high risk contact. But yeah, it's right now the facility is not shut down for them. They were practicing in full. So, but I think they were doing virtual meetings afterwards. So another one to keep an eye on for this weekend. I mean, this is such a big game, for the Chiefs, but,
you get to see CMC.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see on that one. I think one guy we're not going to see this weekend is Calvin Ridley. That midfoot sprain kept him out of practice again. I would probably, put him down as a scratch. I didn't even put him in my rankings for this week. So, that one's
definitely put Gage in.
I think you're right. He is definitely in there. And, as we mentioned, we're recording this this segment before the Thursday night football game. But Kendrick Bourne, who kind of started the outbreak. He was one of the first players to test positive in this current situation that the 49ers are dealing with. The NFL and the Players Association are investigating for like possible violations of the protocols. I mean,
it's unfortunate because we haven't seen too much of this, but we have seen a good amount of it. So it's like, come on, guys, just eight more weeks. Your team's not making it to the playoffs, Niners. So just 8 more weeks.
And it's tough because this is a Super Bowl team, with a lot of veteran leadership. You'd think that they would be really locking down on this kind of stuff, especially with the younger players. But that's unfortunate. I mean, these guys are still human beings, and sometimes they don't make the best decisions. And I hope it doesn't get any worse because, gosh, I mean, it's going to be tough watching the 49ers tonight with no Ayuk, no Debo, and all because of COVID. So, and they're starting left tackle too. So, oof. And over in Miami, Matt Breida, he's been DNP practice. And this was after he was a guy that was a hot pickup when the Dolphins, when they made Myles Gaskin, they put him on the IR. What do you do? Do you get Jordan Howard?
There's no one else on that team. So, I mean, if you're desperate because of buys, I don't see why not.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I actually had Gaskin on one of my teams, and I ended up picking up Breida, and all my other options are on a bye. So I think I'm going to have to be trolling the waiver wire. Maybe I'll pick up Tyler Irvin if he's still available, even though he doesn't look like he's going to play a lot tonight. So Enough about the Thursday night football.
You barely got any time.
So what we found out is it's a member of the Chiefs coaching staff who tested positive for COVID-19. So I don't know if that's related to Chris Jones. As it turns out, it's their head athletic trainer. So these are the people who are kind of like, I don't have to tell you about frontline people, but this is tough for them. This is tough for them.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it does spread quickly, but they shut down right away. So they want to play, and this team's probably the one that gets the most views, most attention. So the NFL wants the Chiefs game to continue.
I think what they're doing, what's interesting is how they're doing it now. It looks like they're just when a player tests positive, it looks like they isolate them, and then they just kind of keep – I think they're doing a
and
good
they do
job
contact of, tracing.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're doing a good job of just making sure who's sick, are these people sick, and just kind of really buckle down on this. So, hopefully
so far so good.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't get any, as of right now, no games are in jeopardy for this weekend. So let's hope it stays that way. Because our last bit of cheesemate is, the Texans, had a positive test and they closed their facility coming out of the bye. So, that's going to, ay, Dios mío. Let's just keep an eye. Let's keep an eye on what this one happens.
COVID did not go away. I felt like these past 3 days after the election, it's like I haven't heard much because everything's been on the election, but it's like, nope, COVID's still here.
It's still here. It's still going nuts. And apparently it's one of the biggest hotspots is Wisconsin right now. So, ay, Dios mío. So we'll see. We'll just keep an eye on this game because this game's going to have a lot of points scored with the Texans, and I think we're gonna be talking about this game in a few minutes. But first, with this being halfway through the season, it's time for the brujerías. Let's look back at our bold predictions from preseason. And Ricky, you had the first one, and it looked like you nailed it.
Yes, I went with weak Zeke, and let's be honest. Zeke right now is going to be crap probably for the rest of the season. Maybe he'll have one or two games that are okay, but who has him again?
Me.
You, right, Georgie?
Oh, yes.
I'm trying to look at all of his stats, see if I could just see the trend right now for Zeke.
Well, yeah.
Last three weeks, I mean, 7, 5, 4. And even before that, he only had two games over 20 points. The other three were 15, 11, and 12. He wasn't the elite guy. He obviously was a guy you could not sit. But now it's like it's going to get to a point, Georgie. You're going to have to sit him if you have better options. If DeAndre Swift and Dobbins start to be better and you have this guy going up against, Cincinnati, San Fran, Philadelphia in the playoffs, if he sucks – you just don't go with it, and he's gonna be weak. So this is the weak Zeke year. He just does. He's deflated. There you go.
Well, their offensive line has just been decimated with injuries, and so that just sucks. And you know what? That's one of the things that we talked about before the season. And this was one of the
he's failed to rush for 100 yards in any game.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? This is kind of looking like the year that Todd Gurley had last year, except he's getting a lot more receptions, and he's still the RB4 in Fantasy Pros, PPR scoring. So, I mean, he's right behind Derrick Henry and ahead of James Robinson, but again, I mean, he's going to be tough to sit, but you're right. If I get Swift and Dobbins, if they take a step forward and all of a sudden I've got these guys, killing it. It's going to be, one of those things where I think I got to think long and hard. I mean, and I've heard some fantasy experts talking about benching Zeke this week because it's a tough matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I can't do it. I can't do it. Plus I just can't. Plus I remember last week where, the Ravens were able to run the ball a little bit on the Steelers. Of course, the Cowboys don't have anywhere near the offensive line that the Ravens do, and they don't have the running threat that Lamar Jackson. So that takes away a defender from being in the box. So
I'd still rather have Saquon over Zeke. Because at least Saquon I can drop and get a better running back than what Zeke is right now.
Oh, well, I don't know who. I mean, at that point, we were dropping him for like Wayne Gallman or Devonta Freeman. I'm going to make a bold prediction. Ezekiel Elliott will have more points than Wayne Gallman and Devonta Freeman combined.
Wow. The rest of
the season. Yeah, I'm really going out. Call me a brujo. And you know what? But that was funny because my prediction was Zeke was going to finish higher than Saquon, which came through. I definitely had the offensive line was a big reason for it, and but really nothing else has come through, and a lot of it has been because of Dak Prescott being out. I mean, he's really taken a step backward because Dak is just a big part of that offense, and it just showed you that, number one, how important he is, but that offense really ran through Dak instead of Zeke. And I think who was it, somebody this morning was saying on one of the radio shows was saying that all that's happening now is that these quarterbacks are that are starting for the Cowboys are just making a lot of money for Dak Prescott when he's healthy. So
pretty much.
So Hector came through with a bold prediction, top five QB for Tom Brady. And I think he's right there right now. He's fifth. Number five. You got to love that.
Surprised because usually Hector's wrong a lot.
Oh, it's fun. And you know what? He's playing really well. He really only had a couple of clunkers. This past weekend he was okay. I mean, he brought them back to win the game to get a comeback. And this week he's got a tough matchup against the Saints in a rematch of the season opener. So that'll be a fun game because he's going to be going up against Drew Brees, and by the end of the game, it's like, okay, who's going to be the all time leading touchdown scorer? So that one will be good. Ricky, you had the next one.
Hollywood Brown finishes top 10. Right now he's, 50 points behind that? So I'm a little behind. But I feel like as long as Lamar Jackson knows now what he needs to do for the next 8 games, hopefully Hollywood can be more involved. It seems like they're trying to go for him. We were talking about how he was the squeaky wheel this past weekend. So I'm hoping he gets the ball more. And with all the receptions, I'm hoping he pops back in and maybe be – one of the bigger surprises of the second half.
Well, one of the surprises not a big surprise.
One of the surprises was your bold prediction.
Was my bold prediction that I claimed that Alvin Kamara was going to finish below RB9, which he was last year. And I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's a little bit of far. I think he's got to fall a really long way, and I think this one's going to be tonteria instead of brujeria.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, I'm happy you said it. I got him in the second round.
I think the familia, they were listening to that episode, and they probably believed me, and so I owe some people some beers.
Thank you. I'll hold on to the trophy for now.
Hector claimed Teddy Bridgewater was going to finish higher than Baker Mayfield. Teddy is at number 16 and Baker is number 23.
Yeah, I think definitely. I don't think that was that bold of a prediction, but I think Teddy B is just going to be a lot better now that he's got CMC. However, not a lot of people need Teddy B because the buys are over and the quarterbacks are coming back to their teams, and Teddy B's just outside of the top 12. So not a lot of teams and leagues need him. And that's the one thing. It's like, he's going to do great, but not great enough to be a starter on a team.
No, unless it's a 2QB league.
Yeah.
So you had one where you were the brujo of the year on this one.
Well, I feel like Week Zeke was really good too, but San Francisco suffers, and I just felt like they had way too many running backs to just have any one of them take over. And sure enough, we've seen Hasty, Coleman, McKinnon, Mostert, most of them go down and injured. Kittle down the middle is no more. And Jimmy G, is he done for the season or just for, I think, 3 weeks?
At least three weeks.
4 to 8 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to think about the rest of the season. I think the rest of the season, we already know they're going to get like 2 or 3 wins if they're lucky. So you're welcome, everybody who took that knowledge and actually made something out of it. I tried to avoid a lot of San Francisco players this year, but hey, it's nice to be the king.
Oh, man. Well, one, I got some work to do. I called that Jared Goff was going to finish higher than Matty Ice and be at least a QB10 this season. So as of now, Goff is number 13. And he's right behind Justin Herbert, your guy, and who is right behind Matt Ryan, Matteo Yello. Number 10 is Joe Burrow. The difference is 9 points between them. So it's all doable. He's got, I mean, what's going to help him, he's got 2 games against Seattle coming up. So everybody's scoring. He's got games against Seattle. He's got a Jets game, got 2 games against Arizona, which are going to be shootouts. So, I mean, really the only top defense that he's facing from here on out is Tampa Bay. I mean, San Francisco, if everybody's healthy, is considered a good defense, but you know, they haven't been. So that one could still come through for me. That one could still come through for me. Last one was Hector. He said that J.K. Dobbins was going to finish within 5 spots of Mark Ingram.
He might be right.
Yeah, I mean, it's
– Ingram's out. Dobbins is going to get the ball more. And Dobbins already had some explosive games. So, I mean, bold, I don't know. But, hey, good job, Hector. You're 2 for 3. Everyone's 2 for 3 pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got J.K. Dobbins is number 40 and Mark Ingram is number 55. So he's right on that one. So vamos a ver. All right, let's do our second half bold predictions. Our Brujerías, Brujo Ricky.
I think, first of all, it's going to be great to watch the NFC East. They've done this before. And I feel like the Eagles are going to win the NFC East, also with a losing record of 7-8-1. Who knows? Maybe even 7-7-1-2. That would be really cool
to see. A second tie.
It just speaks to the Eagles. I feel like they have the most drive there, only second to Washington. The other two teams with Dallas, it's just like Dallas has no heart to play. The Giants, they have no luck or skill. I mean, they got skill, but just no luck, really, because they were close against Tampa Bay. But yeah, so I feel
like they've had 2 heartbreaks, and you know, the previous week it was,
and I feel like it's just going to continue like that.
Yeah,
I don't see things going their way for a while. So the other teams in the NFC are just stronger. The teams in the rest of their schedule are just stronger. It's like nothing's going to change. So the Eagles definitely going to do it with a losing record. Teams have done it before, or at least teams have gone 8-8 before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was talk of the year that Seattle went 7-9 and they ended up winning a playoff game. So that was the Beast Quake game.
Yeah, that was right before they started taking over and people knew who they were.
Yep. Yep.
My second one is going to be that Chase Edmonds is going to be a league winner in the second half. He's dope. Every time he plays, he gets 20 points or more. He's just elusive, and that's what this team needs right now. Drake just hasn't been able to do it, but Drake, right before he got injured, was starting to get hot, and people were talking about Drake having a great second half, and now that Edmonds is going to be in the front, I just feel like if they let Edmonds do it, he's going to explode, and he's going to do awesome. I just hope that they don't try to force Drake in there to disrupt it. I hope Edmonds really gets to try it out for himself.
And you know what? And this is one of those things where it just could be the total, you know, results-oriented business that the NFL is. And if Edmonds is just clearly playing better, they're just going to, and they got a shot at the playoffs, they're going to run with him. So, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury has already said that Edmonds is a starting running back in the NFL. So I think it'd be fun. I think a lot of people would definitely go crazy in a happy way to see this happen. All right. So my Brujo picks, I got number one. I mean, one of the biggest disappointments all season has been Lamar Jackson. Currently he's QB 14 after eight weeks. And I'm predicting he's going to jump all the way up to top six. It's, you know, one of the reasons why I really liked him this season, I actually liked him more than Patrick Mahomes, was the closing schedule. And, you know, this week he's got Indianapolis, which is a tough defense. And then next week, New England, but he ran all over New England last year. I think you remember that. And then after that, really the only good defense that he faces is Pittsburgh in week 12. And let's look at these week 14 to 16 defenses: at Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Giants. So I think he's going to get really hot in the second half. And yeah, I think he's going to finish in the top six. Currently he is, so he's number 14, and the difference between number 14 and number six is 19 points. So I think he can make that up.
Yeah, I think he's going to do it mainly on his feet too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot on his feet. I mean, there are a couple people in front of him who are going to do a good job of keeping him out. Aaron Rodgers has been hot. Deshaun Watson has been hot of late, but I think he can still jump up in there. So that's one. And my other one is Keenan Allen is going to be a top six receiver by the end of the season. He is currently number 14, but he has just been a PPR monster this season. I mean, he had that 19 reception game and, you know, I mean, 19 targets, sorry. And he's just going to be piling up. I mean, in the last, since week two, he's been double digits in targets all but one week. And the week that he wasn't is when he went out of the game with back spasms in the second quarter. So, and then you look at their schedule coming up. I mean, you got the Raiders this week, and they got the Raiders twice. The Jets are on there. Buffalo has not been good against the pass. Atlanta's in there. Denver's in there. I mean, it's just that's why I'm kind of like, I think he's going to have a hot second half and make you really happy, Primo.
I hope so. I was thinking – I kind of want to trade Hector, Chase Edmonds, and Keenan Allen for DeAndre Hopkins.
Ooh.
But I'm not sure if I'm giving up too much.
Well, I mean, your belief, I mean, that would be some strong belief in Chase Edmonds being the man.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
But with Keenan Allen maybe being not too many points away from Hopkins, it's like that's the risk I'd have to take.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's get into Super Bowl picks.
All right. So for me, I feel like you got to go with two of the most entertaining teams, Kansas City versus Seattle. And that would be a huge powerhouse. Offenses on each side of the ball. KC would, I think, believe win it with Patrick Mahomes cementing his spot over Russell Wilson. Because Russell's been there twice, but only had, or at that point, it'd be three with one championship and Mahomes with two. And I mainly think this because I feel like these teams are the strongest right now. I feel like I trust them to get out of the web of the playoffs. But Seattle has shown a little weakness, and that's why I think Kansas City is just going to run away with it.
That would be just such an entertaining Super Bowl. I mean, definitely bet the over and just, you know, grab your beer, grab your chips and salsa and just have a good time.
And you know what? Mine are like power offenses. Yours are the opposite.
Yeah.
Even though yours have good offenses, but talk about them.
Well, mine is, you know, my preseason pick was Pittsburgh, and I'm sticking with them. You know, they're 8-0. And, you know, the TB12 train is definitely calling, and I think they're playing as good a ball as anybody in the NFC, and Pittsburgh's as hot as anybody. Wow. Right now.
Big so, Ben versus Tom Brady.
Look at that old school matchup. Tom Brady, Big Ben actually, you know, looking up at not being the OG guy. That doesn't happen too often.
That would be a weird Super Bowl.
That'd be really
power defenses, insane. But it's very weird to see those two there.
Oh, completely. Well, hey, let's get into some previews. Let's finish all off right. the previews. We got, you know, I threw out my starts of the week that are going to be in my adentro y afuera columns. I've got Josh Allen as a quarterback, James Robinson as a running back, and Stephon Diggs pairing him up with Josh Allen. Though there
Yes, definitely.
There are some bargains this week. Big Ben and Deontay Johnson are big time, you know, a bargain stack there. And Antonio Gibson is another one, only $5,800. Big Ben is $6,500 and Deontay Johnson is $5,000 in DFS. So, so we'll see. Look for the articles on familiaffb.com. But let's do the previews. Ricky, I'm going to start off with Detroit and Minnesota, and it really just comes down to is Matt Stafford going to be playing? I mean, I think he can still test negative as long as he tests negative between now and Sunday or Saturday. I think he gets taken off the COVID list and he can play. So. That'll be good because he's two games, 300 plus yards. You know, there's no Kenny G, but they're going to have Marvin Jones in there, who always seems to do well when Kenny G is in there. They haven't.
He's been exploding here and there.
Yeah, he has. To me, the one that to really watch is TJ Hockenson on this one.
I mean, yes.
Because I think they, I mean, obviously it's well regarded.
He's that Marvin so Jones, hot right now.
He is. But, you know, I think Marvin Jones is a great play because against the Minnesota secondary, but definitely TJ Hockenson is going to be someone, you know, the Vikings are number 20 against the tight end. But on the Minnesota side, I mean, I definitely fire up Dalvin Cook. Ricky, what are you doing with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson?
Have Detroit's not that great of a defense, so you definitely want to fire both of them up. You feel like Kirk Cousins is going to be not gain his rush as much, and he's going to be able to be the quarterback he usually is and just the gunslinger. And these guys will catch the ball because Detroit's just not that strong on defense. They're 19th against the wide receiver, 21st against the QB. So it's going to be a fun game. And Dalvin Cook's just going to open up all the passing lanes for Kirk Cousins to have fun. And Matthew Stafford on the other side, Minnesota's defense hasn't been able to hold down wide receivers or quarterbacks. So it's going to be fun. This one, if you could stack on DFS for this game, it would be cheap for you and it just might work.
Ooh, that's right. That's right. Kirk Cousins is a cheap play in there. And the great thing is there's no, you know, this is a dome game, so you don't have to worry about weather like we had last weekend. So that's a fail. Tell us to why, you know, take us to Washington.
All right. So this is one of the only times either of these teams are going to win. This is the Giants 1-7 at Washington 2-5, trailing the 3-1. I don't even know what they are. Philadelphia. Anyway, so I don't know about their weather, but these two teams anyways, I feel like if they can just go off with their offenses, that would be good for both of them because they both need the practice. Daniel Jones last week had the disappointing loss, but he was able to come back, get 250 yards, still have two touchdowns, and it was good for him. Good to see him at least show that kind of mojo going on. They still don't have a running game, so don't expect anything new this game. Washington's defense is still sturdy, not as sturdy as Tampa Bay, but they're sturdy. And that's why New York is going to be able to keep in the game. But on the fantasy side, other than Slayton, I wouldn't put anyone else in there. Ingram has yet to show of any use. 11 points PPR is not that great for him. So he's not even startable. Sterling Shepard isn't even startable. Slayton is barely startable, and that's only because his roof is high or his ceiling is high. And Daniel Jones, if you have to start him, it's an ugly day for you. On the other side, it's like Kyle Allen almost seems like a more safe option than Daniel Jones because I'm not sure if he's going to do as many. I don't know what's going to happen on that side. But the Giants just – their defense against the wide receiver is not good. Their pass rush isn't that great. So I feel like – Kyle Allen can easily take advantage of Scary Terry and Logan Thomas and just dump it here and there. But honestly, it shouldn't be a flashy game. It'll probably be a very scrappy game. But the main players are going to be Antonio Gibson, who got over 100 yards last week versus Dallas, and Scary Terry. Because Scary Terry has just been – he's been scary this year. He's still fast. He can still run past people. He just hasn't had good quarterback play. Hopefully – with a weak team like the Giants, hopefully Kyle Allen can show somewhat good quarterback play.
And you were asking about the weather. It's going to be sunny and it's going to be nice. Sunny and 72 degrees. So it's going to be perfect weather for them. I'm looking at, I'm going to the next game, Jacksonville. And it's going to be Houston at Jacksonville, which is going to be, this is going to be a fun game. Houston is a 6-point favorite, 50.5.
I can't believe they're 1-6. They just had a hell of a schedule.
That hell of a schedule, and they had some tough losses in there. I mean, that Minnesota game was just an ugly one, but I mean, they're playing, they're really starting, at least from an offensive standpoint, Deshaun Watson has got them going in the right direction. And I mean, you just fire him up, fire up Will Fuller, fire up Brandon Cooks. Even David Johnson is a great play because the Jacksonville is number 27 against the running back. I mean, this game is just going to be points galore. I think you take the over. There's going to be a little weather, rain is in forecast, which it's Florida, it happens all the time. But on the other side, I think one of the, you know, I mentioned James Robinson is my starter.
Robinson all the way. Yeah, exactly.
He's going to be huge this game. And the crazy thing is he's the RB5. Isn't that amazing? If I would have told you on Labor Day, you know, the day after we drafted that James Robinson was going to be the RB5,
I would have preferred you tell me the day before, since I got Obajobi, whoever.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I got Armstead. Oh, so stupid.
Now, how worried are you about the rookie quarterback taking over for Gardner Minshew? I'm a little worried.
He's going to get garbage time at the end, and with how crappy Houston's defense has been, I think he'll at least be able to have some fair game out there. He's not going to be too overwhelmed, but still expect to see the curve.
I'm loving that. You know, we've got so many dome games this week that, you know, and games in good weather, and even some games that could be in. After last week, it was just.
Last week's horrible game.
Well, yeah. Well, tell us about the next dome game.
The next dome game, we have Las Vegas 4-3 at my lovely SoFi Stadium, Los Angeles Chargers 2-5 at 1 p.m. I'm excited for this game because the Chargers need to come back after losing to the Broncos in horrible fashion. The Raiders also need a win because if they lose this game, the Chargers are right behind them and the Vegas likely won't make playoffs because the Chargers probably aren't going to make it either. However, the Chargers have been horrible on defense. Their quarterback rating is 30 out of 32. So I don't like Derek Carr. Neither does life, because last week he had 112 pass yards and one touchdown. Yes, it was terrible weather, but still this guy can't be that much garbage and expect to just be talked so highly about. I'm over Derek Carr. Josh Jacobs was able to get over 100 yards that game, but this game, I just don't think it's going to be possible for him. I hope the Chargers defense can hold them. But Waller's definitely going to make some gainage here. The Chargers just aren't pushing against the tight end. The Chargers secondary in general is just down. But I don't know who's going to win this game. I want to say Chargers because that's my heart, but I definitely could see Vegas winning barely, which would break my heart.
I think this is going to be a game that's going to be the over because both secondaries are compromised. I mean, obviously the Chargers just traded Desmond King that we talked about in yesterday's episode. I mean, I think this is a big game. I think a sleeper play this week is Henry Ruggs to get loose on a long ball. I mean, it's been 2 weeks in a row. He had Tampa Bay's tough defense 1 week, and then he had that crazy weather last week. I mean, I think on the fast track at SoFi Stadium, I think he's going to burn. I think he's going to burn and get a long ball.
Yeah, but the Chargers still have Keenan Allen, who last
week absolutely
had 9 receptions and a touchdown. They still got Mike Williams, who almost cracked 100 yards short. So I feel like they're still going to do good. Definitely expect to see Justin Jackson get the majority. So hopefully it's a shootout, or at least hopefully it's a fun game to watch.
I think it's going to be a fun game. One game, the next game, I don't think it's going to be very fun
another
to watch.
Dumb.
Oh, man. Pittsburgh at Dallas. Pittsburgh 7-0, Dallas 2-6. Pittsburgh's a 13-point favorite. You know, as I mentioned, my pick is Dallas in this one. 41.5 over under. I mean, I think You just fire up all your Steelers. Big Ben, he's QB22, but he's had at least two TDs in all but one game this season, though he hasn't hit the 300 yard mark. I mean, I put him down as my DFS bargain of the week on the quarterback side. I think James Conner's gonna have a big game, and two of these receivers are gonna have good games. It's gonna be Claypool, Deontay Johnson, and Juju Smith-Schuster. I almost think like you flip a coin, though. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the outside guys who go nuts in this game and just get a lot. And Eric Ebron is another guy to kind of keep an eye on for tight end play. He's been coming on a little bit lately and just consistent, you know, four or five receptions. And Dallas is 19 against the tight end. On the other side,
Can you start anybody?
I honestly don't.
Is anyone going to get over 10 points?
I think the only one that could get over 10 points is Zeke, and it'll be just purely on volume, because I don't see that whoever starts a quarterback, Derek Gilbert or Cooper Rush, is going to get more than is going to get enough. And the tough part is, the Steelers, the only place they've shown any kind of vulnerability has been in the secondary to the wide receivers. So you got to look at the fact that, are they gonna could Amari Cooper break loose, or CeeDee Lamb or Michael Gallup? I wouldn't bet on it. In fact, I the only guy I would start in this game is Zeke, maybe Cooper if you really have to. And but geez, ay Dios mio.
I'll tell you what, let's go to the next game, because that's a sad situation. But so is this one. This is probably the saddest game for Josh Rosen to have to watch.
Oh,
this is Miami with Tua, who kicked Rosen out of there, and Arizona, who Kyler kicked Rosen out of there pretty much. So this is going to be a fun game, because both of these teams 2 years ago, they were in the dumps. Now you got Miami 4-3, Arizona 5-2. Miami, the shock of the year. Arizona, the play of the year. Everyone's high hopes for the year, because they look so hot. And even in the beginning of the season, we all said buy real estate for them. I think the only thing about this game, sorry, I had to burp. I wanted to put it on.
Sorry.
Matt Breda or Jordan Howard, now that Gask is out? Well, Breda's out, right? Or is he's trending towards being out?
I think he's trending, yeah.
And I think just on that, it's like, who do they go to? I think this game's going to be a Kyler game. It's going to be not Drake. It's going to be Edmonds, because they're just going to want to run the ball, because Miami's not going to be able to do anything, because they don't – like, Tua's good, but this is the game where Tua's going to have to show how good he is. Because I don't think Howard's going to move the ball that much against a okay defense in Arizona, 19th against a run. So who knows what we're going to see? And you don't know – I don't know. You just don't know anything about Miami right now. Last week, their offense was crap. Parker, one reception, 3 yards, one touchdown. Gesicki, one reception, 8 yards. So I don't see them – I don't see their defense – doing to Arizona what they did last week. So expect Arizona to actually win this game, like I would think, like 31-13.
I mean, I'd like to see Tua have take a step forward. I think it's going to be more fun for the league if he's better. I mean, there are some things that were somewhat encouraging from him. I love the tight spiral that he throws. He has a solid arm, and but he's going to have to start doing it, because Kyler is going to be running all over the place. I think this is going to be a fun game. This is going to be a fun game for him. I hope Tua can catch up, because then it'll be especially on the fast track in the dome in Arizona, then it'll be a fun game to watch. But yeah, Miami's defense is definitely coming on.
And it's almost like the game we're watching right there, 20 years from now, it's going to be the game that you're talking about now. New Orleans at Tampa Bay, with the two old guys who've won Super Bowls and now are at their the end of the ropes. Now, I don't know if you call it the end of the ropes, but they're into their careers.
I mean, the two viejos, Drew Brees against Tom Brady, rematch game one, where Drew Brees won that round. And I forget, I think Brady is currently ahead, one touchdown ahead in the all-time touchdown. So this will be funny. They'll kind of keep going back and forth. But this game's going to be, I think this is going to be a wonderful
Sunday. You think they'll Sunday play to
game.
That?
What?
Do you think they'll play to that, the touchdown thing? Like, maybe even the coaches will want, like, if Brees is behind, they'll want Brees to throw a lot. And then if Tom Brady sees that Brees has four touchdowns and he has one, he's going to want to throw more. You think, like, they'll play more to that than the actual game script?
No, I doubt it. I think they're going to try and win. I mean, they Tampa Bay, both teams, New Orleans is on the upswing. They're playing a lot better of late. I think they won three in a row now. And Tampa's, is a hot team. I mean, I think they were looking ahead to this game in that New York Giants game. So, and they put a little bit of a clunker. And the interesting thing is they're going to get a shot of energy. Antonio Brown's going to be in the game. And last year, he came off the street with TB12 up in New England, and he just got fed right off the bat and scored a touchdown on the very first series. So does Antonio Brown, does he flash that, that all-time great talent right off the bat? Does he get enough? Does Chris Godwin back? He's back practicing, but he hasn't been a full participant. And that's the thing. They need a healthy body in there. When it comes to the running game, is Tampa Bay going to be able to do enough against the running game, especially considering the fact that New Orleans is number four against running backs coming into this game? New Orleans is not that great against the passing game. They've been getting beat up, especially by the tight end. So Gronk, Soy Fiesta, you're going to Soy Fiesta all over the place. But and the other one, what kind of gauge
that
do you?
That sounds dirty.
It does. what's your feeling on Michael Thomas?
I just don't know what we're going to expect to see. We still have a good defense in Tampa Bay, 9 against the wide receiver, 3 against the quarterback. So whether Brees has time to throw to Thomas or Thomas even has time to get open, we'll see. But these are all factors that are going to make these players appear not as good as they really are, if you know what I mean. So the numbers won't be all there, but who knows, maybe this can just be one of those games where offenses take off, but that's not really what happened last time they met. So and with the wide receiver situation in Tampa Bay, it's ugly, and I hate the way Tom Brady just feels like he can just throw it to anybody, and he probably will throw it to Antonio Brown. Because he just, like, Tom Brady's an opportunist. If the guy's open, he's open. And with these three wide receivers, one of them is going to get wide open every play.
And it really is. And it's going to be – I think this is going to be a fun game. I hope the defenses take a little bit of a step back and kind of let these guys throw the ball around. Though
right,
I do,
because
though
that would be so fun to watch.
I do worry about Alvin Kamara for you, which I'm hoping because going up against that great Tampa defense, I'm hoping you're definitely projected to win, but I'm going to, fingers crossed. I got a veladora. My mom's going to light a veladora for me and make sure get a chance for me. Oh man. Bueno, primo, eso es todo for our show and our week. Show. Oh, thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets into the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe. Leave us a review at Apple. Subscribe at Spotify and Google, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. You can find me at JorgeMartin17, our FamiliaFFB.com website. And don't forget our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. Have a great football weekend. And remember, como siempre, todos somos familia.
Adiós, amigos.
Salud.